Father, we ask, Lord, that you would go before us now. And Father, we pray that you'd be our strength. My goodness, Lord, it is always beneficial, actually, for us to realize how dependent we are upon you to just get us through a day. And Lord, I know for me, I just pray that you get me through this next hour. And maybe many people feel that way. Maybe things have gone on in their lives. And they're saying, oh, Lord, just get me through this day. Get me through this life, many people would cry. Well, Lord, we know that there's trials and difficulties in life. You've told us about them. But you've also told us that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through Him who loves us. So, Lord, teach us, even beginning today, what it means to be more than a conqueror. Lord, as we look to your word, may you unlock our hearts and out of it show us marvelous things. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Why don't you grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and silly me, what was I thinking last week when I told you that we would cover verses 1 through 10? I meant to say that we'll cover verses 1 through 10 in a four-part teaching. Not really, but that's what it's turned out to be. Today, part 2 of what will probably be a four-part message entitled, There's No Other Gospel. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Down to verse 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me to the Galatian, to the churches of Galatia, multiple churches, it's a region. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another or a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be damned or accursed. As we, verse 9, have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Does it kind of sound like Paul is a little bit enthusiastic about what he's writing? Yeah, for great reason. Did you know this epistle is very much unlike any other epistle? One of the great commentators said concerning the book of Romans that Paul wrote it from a deep, deep mind. Well, this same commentator went on to say concerning the book of Galatians, Paul wrote it from a very deep, deep heart. Why? Well, first of all, we notice that as we get into this book and as we've touched on last week, Paul, he says of himself, an apostle. He doesn't do the normal greeting like all the other epistles that he's written. He usually writes, grace and peace be to you from, you know, this group or from those guys or us, we who, to the saints that are at, whatever. He goes through a warm greeting, not the book of Galatians. Paul is upset. Paul is angry in a godly way. Paul's heart is grieved over the fact that these churches in Asia Minor or Turkey today were erring. They were beginning to depart from the simple gospel that is preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. And they began to err. They began to pull away from it. And listen, at the end of this book, you don't need to turn there, I'll just tell you about it, we'll cover it later. At the end of this book, Paul says, do you see what with a great or a large letter I've written to you? Well, why would he insert that? Because most of Paul's epistles, Paul spoke as an author like Luke or one of the others, wrote for him. His eyes were so bad that he rarely penned anything. Paul wrote not a huge letter. It's not huge. It's only 6 chapters. He wrote bigger chapters, bigger books, I should say, but he used huge characters, huge alphabets, because he's going blind. And he says, you know, I wrote this with my own hand. That's why he comes out of the gate saying, Paul, an apostle. And he'll conclude it by saying, I wrote this with my own hand. Paul made 3 missionary journeys to this region over the course of his life. Scholars differ on when this was written, but most agree somewhere between the 2nd and 3rd missionary journeys of Paul. The churches started out like you did. They started out hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they began to take their eyes off the gospel and get into other things and other ways of thinking that began to pull them away from the simple gospel truth. And you guys, I told you last time together that we were going to set our plow for deep. And what that means is either we're going to get into some wonderful, awesome truth, we certainly will, but allow that truth to go deep into your heart. Can you take it as a church? I'm saying this because for the last 2 services, people have gotten up and walked out because I am demanding that the gospel message and what Paul is preaching is that we are saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. That Jesus on the cross died for our sins, and we are saved by putting faith in what He's done for us. We are saved by faith, not by works. Are you with me? This is the gospel. It's what the Bible teaches. And for some people, they were insulted this morning because they think that they can actually add to their once being saved, their ability to keep themselves saved by performing good works. And it insulted their pride. Well, then let pride be insulted. Yay! Let pride be circumcised, for it's the very reason why Paul wrote this book. And so he says, Paul an apostle. Why? Because his ministry was under attack. The Judaizers came in behind Paul. And the Judaizers were those who said, yeah, we know you got saved by putting your faith in Christ. That's great. But now to keep yourself a Christian, you must do this. You must adhere to these certain acts or these certain things of the Old Testament practices, and you must do this, and thus if you do that, you will, yes, it's in fact the truth, you will be saved. Wait a minute. That's not what Paul was preaching. So when they came to town, they said, what is it that Paul said? Yeah? Oh, well, first of all, an apostle? Listen, how subtle this is. Paul was not even with the 12. How could he be an apostle when he wasn't with the 12? That's right, he wasn't, was he? And didn't the disciples themselves say that no man could be raised up as an apostle unless he has seen the risen Christ? Paul never saw the risen Christ. Wait a minute, that's why Paul counters that attack. Later on in the book of Acts, he will utter the truth that, didn't I see Christ with my own eyes? He saw Christ after Christ had been risen from the dead, Paul did. Paul was an apostle ordained by God, not by man. But see, for some people, the things of men are really exciting to them. They love the fact that they've been approved by men. I'm man approved. My denomination's behind me on this one. I've got the covering of our movements. Oh, where's that in Scripture? Why should that matter? Paul is not saying, hey, wait a minute, time out. Aren't I a Calvary Chapel guy? I mean, couldn't have Paul said, wait a minute, you guys, how dare you doubt this gospel that I gave to you? I'm an apostle. I've been ordained in the Baptist church. I've been ordained in the Methodist, the Lutheran, the whatever. Fill it in. I don't care. You think that impresses God? And does it really, really matter to people in the long run? The answer is it will not in the long run because God does the ordaining. He says, look, by way of review, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, look what he says, not from men. Do you love it? I'm not appointed by man. Nor through man. I'm not here by a succession of the laying on of hands. He goes to say, I'm here through Jesus Christ. And I just love Paul's passion. He's saying, I'm here through Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, the Father raised Him from the dead. If you're forgetting who that might be. I love it. These people have come to town saying you must be circumcised, you got to keep the Saturday worship day, you got to do these certain things of Moses. Positioned by men, I tell you, Paul would say. I came to you ordained by God, sent by Jesus Christ Himself. He's passionate about this. It's possible that Paul loved their souls more than they loved their own souls. He was a good shepherd. And so, we saw in our study last time that we saw this, that the gospel comes from God alone. The gospel is of the Lord. We saw that it's not from man. And we saw that it knows no borders in verse 2. Paul says, and all the brethren who are with me. We saw that last time. And he's greeting the churches of Galatia. We studied how it's a region of Turkey. And so now he begins to dive into what I consider some very, very serious and wonderful things if we're willing to accept them. Before we say any more about this, let me insert this little political twist. And I do mean political. When Japan messed with the United States, we thought that we could stay sheltered by two vast oceans and not get involved in the Second World War. And thus we were sleeping with our military pants down in Hawaii. And members of my family actually went through that event. And my mom was there. And what happened was, though, we woke up to the fact that we are not this isolated power. And we quickly responded, and then ultimately responded, in releasing nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Then, quickly after that, the war came to an end. And it was said by Sir Edward Teller and Oppenheimer that truly the devastation of this military venture of the United States will put all wars to end forever. No one will ever war again because of this. And that's not true. It's in the heart of man to war. The tragic thing about what happened with Japan is that the United States, as we did, we bombed the snot out of people, and then we send them money. It's a joke internationally that if you want your economy to do better, let America attack you. It's a joke. It's true. Ask Germany. Ask Japan. Here's the great danger. We blew Japan up, and then we rebuilt Japan. Here's where we erred as a nation. Instead of sending the money, we should have first sent the Bible, then money, to Japan. And Japan today would be an amazing Christian witness in the world. Unfortunately, now Japan is a nation that is reeling on its heels, lost in materialism, who we created a god of mammon for them. I say this as we see what's happening in Afghanistan. I pray under this current administration and the one to follow, and the one to follow, if the Lord doesn't return, that may we send the Spirit of God, the Bible, and a Christian testimony and witness to Afghanistan, that Christ will be preached. Yes, we're going to send money, and so we should, and that's fine. We can afford that. But we can't afford investing in Afghanistan without sending the gospel first. Or else these poor, precious Muslims are just going to continue on their darkened path. They're falling for some other gospel. Aren't there three great faiths in the world? It depends on who you ask. If you ask God, what would His answer be? No! Jesus, He said, is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him, He says. Is that narrow? I agree. It is narrow. But is He not available to all people? Yes. He doesn't care what color, what nation. He cares that the unadulterated gospel be preached. That Jesus came and took upon Himself the form of a man. That He died in our place. That He rose again on the third day from the dead to justify all those who would put their faith in Him. And listen, the Bible says that He died also for the sins of the entire world. Did you know that? We could not save ourselves, so He came and He saved us. And now what's required of us is that we would take all of our broken lives and all of our fulfilled lives, all of our poverty and all of our wealth, all of what we could muster and say, this is what I'm hiding behind, or this is what I am, It doesn't matter to God. We bring it to Him and say, Lord, save me. I tell you, my heart is stirred because after first service, this man, he said he stumbled into the church today. Never been here before. About 43, 44 years of age, sat down, heard the gospel. He's moved to tears. He came up to me and he said, you're talking to me today. This was me you're speaking about. I'm this one. I need Christ. And I said, then pray. Let's pray. No, I don't want to pray. Accept Christ. No, I don't want to do that. He's like the rich young ruler. He came all excited. He was almost falling down on his knees. Oh, what must I do to be saved? Accept Christ. Oh, no, I didn't do that. And he left. And I thought, nothing's changed. 2,000 years, men's hearts are the same. The gospel goes out, and men will either open their heart or they'll close their heart. And I thought about this man, and we prayed about him in following services today. Lord, may he not rest tonight. May he not sleep day or night until he decides on you, Jesus. To choose Christ brings us to our second study of this important message. There's no other gospel, verses 3-5, and that is this. There's no other gospel effective. Can you jot that down in your notes? No other gospel effective. How so? First of all, this gospel is so effective that we accept Christ, we immediately become acceptable to God. Watch this. He says here, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle the word grace. Paul uses the Greek word that means, listen, it means divinely bestowed favor. You hear that? You almost have to watch me. Like this. This divinely bestowed favor. God gives the grace. Okay, everybody? How much do you have to pay to get it? Anybody? Zero. How much works do you have to do to get grace? Anybody? The word means, in the Scriptures, freely offered, unearned, unmerited, God bestowed favor. It's like, have you ever been, or have you ever seen somebody who's just teacher's pet, and you're wondering, what's with them? How come they're teacher's pet? Well, in a human way, that teacher bestowed upon them unearned favor. Now, that teacher may say, well, this little kid is funny or cute or reminds me of my little boy or whatever the story is. It doesn't matter. It's that teacher's right, though I think it's wrong. It's that teacher's right to select that child to be their favorite child. They do that. People do that. Well, God says, hey, upon you, upon who? You. Grace be to you. Well, who is that? Well, how about you? Now watch this. The church at Galatia thought that they could accept the grace of God and then perfect themselves in human works. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. We'll take it from here. And we laugh, but you know what? We're guilty. We are guilty of the sin of Galatianism. You want to know why? Because we don't do well with grace. Grace is an extension. It's an unearned thing. I grew up in a military home. You earned. It was taught by my dad into our heads. Son, no one's going to give you anything. What you get in this life, you will get out by your blood, sweat, and tears. So pour yourself into it. Yes, sir! And you know what? I found out that's not true. Are you ready for this? It's not what you know. It's who you know. You know Jesus? How dare you insult me? I have a PhD in theology and I'm a master of this and whatever. I don't care. Do you know it's not what you know? It's who you know. Grace. The greatest example of grace that I've ever read of in the Bible ever. In fact, maybe ever in life, is the thief on the cross. He's on the cross. And listen, he doesn't even do it right. He says, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? What kind of altar call response was that? We didn't hear Jesus say, now everybody just calm down. Ushers, open the gates. The buses will wait. You come forward and come at the foot of my cross. He didn't say that. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right then and there, if you were of the Galatianism thinking, you would have said, oh, no, time out. Thief on the cross, you got to do a couple of children's ministry weeks. or you got to do a few Hail Marys, or you got to do a couple of church cleaning episodes. You got to do something. I mean, you expect to get to heaven just by calling upon Him? Well, on the authority of the Word of Jesus Himself, He said, today you'll be with Me in paradise. And that thief on the cross did nothing. He did nothing. When was he baptized? He wasn't even baptized. He didn't even tithe. How could he get to heaven by not tithing? And I make light of this, but watch this. I'm dead serious. I'm coming around to get you from behind. Here's the deal. I grew up in one of the most wonderful churches that preached and taught on grace. And I got saved. In fact, I told you before, I wasn't even looking for a church. I was not even a Christian. I, like this man this morning, stumbled into this church, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, 25 years ago. The gospel's presented. I've never heard it before. Couldn't believe it. Then I realized, I'm in a church. God had to do that to me because I wouldn't have gone in. What is this? Oh my gosh. What's Greg Laurie saying? That if I reject Jesus tonight, it could be my last chance? Forget that. I'm going down there. And I went forward. Now listen, going forward didn't save me. Did you know that? Going back to the prayer room didn't save me either. When that message went out, and he was teaching on Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, behold, there's a great white throne, and all the dead, small and great, stood before the Lord, and the books were opened. The dead were judged out of those things written in the book, and those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into hell. I'm like, yikes, that's me. Nobody told me. Nobody said, you foul sinner in the back, you, this message is for you. No, you know what? The Holy Spirit went like this. Jack, you are the one He's talking to. Going forward, listen, now I know as a Christian, I've gotten saved in my seat. And I had to go forward. There was a spring, not in the chair, but in my rear. I had to get up. I had to go. Why? Because honestly, theologically, I was already saved. I got saved in an instant. He preached the message, Jesus is the only way. God, I've never heard this. Yes, Jesus, I receive You, my Lord and Savior. And when Greg Laurie says, if you want to accept Christ, come forward. That was only the outward manifestation of an inside decision. And yet I've bumped into people who say, well, don't talk to me. I went forward to the Billy Graham Crusade back in 86. Don't even talk to me. What? Or I was baptized last week or last year or 10 years ago. Don't talk to me about Christ. Don't talk to me about Christ. You're trusting in Galatianism. You're trusting in your own performance. Do you realize that God's grace? In second service, there's a precious young woman who comes here. I would estimate, if you looked at her body, to be 10. I think her parents told me she's around 18 or 19. She's crippled everywhere except her brain. And she loves coming here. She comes every week. She loves the Lord. You know what? Today, sitting right over here, Robert, right where you're sitting, she was there today with the biggest smile on her face. In this, housed in this body from birth that's broken. You know what? She can't go to the foreign mission field. She can't even write a tithe check. She can't dig a shovel at the property. She can't help children. She is locked in a body. And let me ask you something. If salvation were not of faith alone in Jesus Christ, she would have no hope. Because think, what could she do? Aren't you glad that what God has done for us, He's done it all. All to Him we owe, right? For sin had left its crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. Grace of God. Now here's the deal. Growing up in a church like that, I heard grace all the time. And I got saved, and it was wonderful, and Pastor Chuck would sit there and smile with that smile all week long, and I was so excited, I kept going, I lost, well, I didn't lose. My friends never talked to me again after that. They abandoned me. Friends. I thought they were friends. Come to find out it was a good thing that God left me alone with Him. I sat in that huge church, and being alone with God in that huge church was the best thing for me. and Monday night Greg Laurie and all these various nights of the week, Chuck Missler on Wednesday nights and the New Believers Fellow and all of this stuff was great. And here's what happened. Saved, just rejoicing in the Lord. You know what happened? For the following 3 years, though, after that, I became very miserable. So what happened? You want to know what happened? The same thing that happened to the churches in Galatia. I began to think, wait a minute. As I'm listening to Pastor Chuck do this message, I think I know what verse he's going to go to next. In fact, I'm going to write it down, see what happens. Ask my wife. I'd write down the verse, then he'd say it. Well, if I were him, I'd go to this, I'd make this my next point. So I'd write it down, and then he'd make that his next point. Instead of me saying, God, wow, you're calling me to be a teacher. That's what you're doing. You know what I did? I began to think, I'm bored. And I began to hang out with guys, and we began to get real twisted in our theology. We became just like the Galatian people in the region of old. You know Richard Cimino up at Grass Valley? He was one of the victims. Him and I, we began reading books by, I'm not going to name these guys' names because you know them, but they're books about if you don't pray, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day, you're a loser, you're probably not even saved. So we, write that down. And we began to write this stuff down, and we're reading all these books. I'm not talking about like the Book of Mormon or the Tibetan Book of the Dead or... These were Christian books from good old Puritans of yesteryear. But the thing was, in fact, Romaine said, put those books down. Well, you know why? Richard Cimino, him and I, we got into this holiness club. And then Brian Broderson, the guy you hear on To Every Man an Answer, we totally messed him up too. And we used to walk around Costa Mesa. Hey, want to pray with us tomorrow? Well, yeah, sure. Why not now? Oh, no. Tomorrow, 4 a.m., our house. We would pray from 4 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning every day. And if you didn't show up, you were a loser. We were the righteous dudes. Grace was for weak people. That's what grace was for. For those who couldn't get up at 4. To those who couldn't tithe more. To those who couldn't do more. See, grace was for the weak people. And that's exactly how the cults think. You Christians, you're weak. Your gospel's weak. Your Jesus is weak. See, what we do is we have a message and then we pump it up with our own efforts. We know what we've done and we're trusting in it. You come to faith in Christ, yeah, but now that you have, you do this, 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 and this, and you'll be saved. And they go so far to even say that you, if you perform certain rites and rituals, you can be the savior of another man. And deliver them from their eternal plight by being baptized in their place. If an angel comes and preaches any other gospel, Paul said in verses 8 and 9, let that messenger be cursed. Why? The gospel is so simple. It has to be simple. And it works a wonderful work in our lives if we'll receive this wonderful gospel that we become accepted by Him. And then He says peace. Peace, He uses the word shalom in Hebrew. The shalom, Hebrew word. Peace. And this is the peace of now no more warring with God. We're at peace with God. Why? Because we understand the grace of God. Christian, do you understand there's nothing you can do today to better your position with God? You know what? When we did all that praying and all that stuff, we became big-headed, little-hearted, erring believers. We were gross. And boy, I tell you, if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Hey, you're right. It's wonderful to pray for 3 hours. Jesus loves you just as much, and you're accepted as Him if you do or if you do not. If you begin to hook your merit to what you do, you are in deep trouble. Deep. Let everything flow from your life because you are saved and He does love you. Let that be your drive. Well, I went to school and my parents paid for all the money and all that stuff. And, you know, I guess I should go into the church work, you know, and be a pastor. Not through men, not of men. But through Christ Jesus. Men can call you. But they may not call you back. But when God calls you, His giftings and His work is given without Him taking it back. He's so faithful. Listen, not only that, but this peace, this grace that we have now, we get to enjoy this peace that is a wonderful quietness of soul. It's a quietness of spirit. It's a rest. It's a knowledge of knowing that I'm no longer warring with God. And this is very important, the word used. I'm not warring with God. Every Christian in this place who has entered into the grace of God is no longer fighting with God in performance. Are you with me? You rest. And I have found, let me strike that. I am beginning to find out that the more I rest in God, the more I'm able to achieve in this world. It's weird. I can set my alarm for 4 o'clock and live all day long for God. But when I relax, trust in the Lord, and let Him live His life through me, I wind up accomplishing more in one day eternally for His glory than what I would do by working my tail off. It's a weird thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Listen to this. This gospel that He gives us is not only one that sets us free and brings us into a place of being accepted and causes us to cease from struggling, but it brings to us the knowledge of a blessed God. How so? Look at verses 4 and 5. Who gave, He says. It's the Lord who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen, He says. The word gave here in Greek means to be gifted. He gifts. He does it. It's His excitement. Have you ever seen somebody who wants to give a gift and they're really excited about it? It's almost funny. Come on, open it, open it. All right, I'll get to it. No, open it, open it. You ever been in that kind of thing? It's kind of funny. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Open it. Wait, come on. I drive my kids nuts at Christmas. I go really slow. And I kind of got this tactic. It's Christmas, everything's flying, and I just go really slow, and it's kind of fun because I kind of wait toward the end. And for me, I'm super blessed, though they don't know it. I'm watching them open their gifts. Being their parent, I'm super happy about that. And then I get gifts from them. What a crack up. I'm super blessed. Being a parent that way, I'm super blessed. Well, listen. When it says here that He gave Himself for our sins, this is an amazing word. In 1 Timothy 1:11, get a load of this. 1 Timothy 1:11, the second part of that verse says this, that it is the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Almost sounds like a name of a church. The church of the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Blessed God? Yeah, the word in Greek means, are you ready? Write it down. It means to be happy. Of the happy God. This is the gospel of the happy God. Happy faced, one commentator put it. That God is a happy face now. Well, wait, how did that happen? Ooh, are you ready? Jot this down. This is, in my opinion, this is about as deep as it ever gets. Isaiah 53, verse 6 and verse 10. Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10. Yet it pleased, the word in Hebrew is, put a happy face on the Father to bruise the Lord, His Son, for the Lord is put into grief when He sees His soul an offering for sin, or our sin. Isaiah 53:10. Wow! The Father got a happy face when Jesus was dying on the cross for us. Now granted, the Father knew that He'd have His Son back in 3 days. What's the Father smiling about? That Jesus died in our place. That we who cannot save ourselves, He died in our place for us. And the Father has a happy face on His countenance that through my precious servant, my Son, He will bear the sin and justify many. Awesome! It's great! If we were a bunch of Pentecostals, we would have went like nuts right now. We would have said, thank you, God. Now watch this. Watch what this does to Galatianism. It kills it! If Jesus did it all on the cross and put a happy face on God, then watch this. If I walk around in my Galatianism, I'll say, how you doing? I'm alright. What's the matter? Oh, just trying to make it. Make it through what? My Christian walk, you know? I'm really trying hard. Why don't you stop? I mean, it's like, yeah, praise the Lord. Want to accept Christ? No. I don't want to have what you have. Get away from me. I'll wash my hands. Go. Why are you bummed out? Listen, Christian who's tempted with Galatianism. Why are you bummed out? I've only read like maybe one chapter in a month. So what? If you read a chapter every day, you are what? You are what? Like saved? I don't know, maybe saved? No. See, Jack, are you encouraging people to read their Bible less? Contrary. Read your Bible more. Because you are saved. Read your Bible more because you already know Him. If you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, read your Bible more. But what, you know, I just signed up and we're just into the new year and I'm already 3 weeks behind my reading schedule. Have you noticed that? We all do it. It's January 1st. I'm going to read my Bible all the way through this year. So I'm going to read, okay, I've got to read 4 chapters today, 2 in the Psalms and start in Matthew, and here we go. And it works great for 6-7 days, doesn't it? And then you miss a day. Oh, man. Whew. Tomorrow morning, I got 8 chapters to read. I think, I kid you not, Satan has used in my life reading schedules to defeat me royally. Because I get up saying, oh, man, I am 16 chapters behind. Just get up and read the thing, will you? Watch what happens. Stop becoming a Galatian. That's exactly how they thought. We started, hey, we got saved. Remember we got saved, how excited we were? Yeah, it was awesome. Well now, you know what? I only read my Bible like a half hour today. You guys, you don't keep yourself saved like that. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. It's unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The work of the Lord, it is glorious in our sight. So here's the thing. The churches of Galatia were getting bogged down by these Judaizers who came in, and we'll study it in depth later. They're going to say, well, for one thing, you guys, you know, Paul got you going, but here's the deep truth. You got to worship God only on Saturday. That's what they're going to tell them. Only Saturday. And man, Paul is going to correct that. And then they're going to say, okay, now that you're doing Saturdays really good, okay, here's the other thing. Okay, all you guys step forward. You need to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. What? Paul didn't say anything about that. Think about it. They're going to say, they will demand this, and Paul will address it in the book of Acts and here in this book. If you just give 10% all year, you can be a member. Oh, wait a minute. What if I lose my job? What if God calls me out of here? Wait, what? Be careful. Galatianism. I'm sure I've made enough enemies, so let me make a few more and then we'll wrap this up. What do we do with this? Who gave Himself for our sins. Anybody in here commit any sins? Raise your hand. Watch. You. Raise your hand. All right. Put your hand down. What's shocking about this is that the word in the Greek implies this. Jesus Christ paid at one moment all of our sins' debts. Now you ought to be asking the question, Jack, that was 2,000 years ago. How does that apply to me? And that's exactly the point. Not only does it apply to you, it applies to your children. Not only that, it applies to your children's children. Not only that, it applied to your parents. It applied to your great-grandpa. It applied all the way back to great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma and grandpa, Adam and Eve. All the way out to little Pebbles and Bam Bam that's going to be born in the end. All the way. His payment for sin covered the entire realm of sin. Who says? God says. On what merit? On the cross. Who made up the rules? God did. I don't like him. Too bad. He created it. He performed it. The response of the human is to say, yes, Lord. Remember we sing that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Yeah. Now in that yes, I'll be honest with you, requires the true gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have to agree with God that you're a sinner. Remember a moment ago you raised your hand. Here's the cool thing. He saw you raise your hand. Now that you've admitted it, what's your next step for those of you who've never done it? Well, Lord, I raised my hand just now that I was a sinner. Yeah, that's right. I can't walk on water. I've failed. So my next step is, Jesus, will you receive me? I ask you to come into my heart. I want you. And from that moment on, the Spirit of God moves in and He does it wonderfully. Sometimes He does it loud. Sometimes He does it quietly. Sometimes He does it in a bold way and sometimes very subtly. But He moves on in. And basically He says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with this room right here. We're going to wallpaper this room because I don't like the way this room looks. And He begins a work that He starts in our lives and He doesn't end until the day of Christ comes for us. And here's the great thing. Galatianism says, you silly person. No, no, you can perfect yourself in the flesh. You start in faith, but once you grow up, you get out of that and you really pull it off in your own strength. It's amazing. Come on, join us. Get circumcised. Keep the law. Join our club. Be baptized by our ministers and our water. And take the name of our church and you'll be saved. Judaizers. Galatians 2:20 and 2:21. We're almost done. Galatians 2:20, 2:21. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Go ahead and turn there, because I don't want you to miss this. I have been crucified, past tense, with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Oh, by what? By works? No, works comes after faith established. By faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who, circle the word, loved me. Paul is telling us that when Jesus died on the cross, even though I was not even a Christian yet, Paul says I was a ruthless Judaizer myself. He died for me. He loved me, Paul said. And gave, there's that word, happy face, gave himself for me. And he says in verse 21, do not set aside the grace of God. Don't depart from the grace of God, Calvary. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow, is that a strong word? Oh, it gets better. Romans 6, verse 6. Romans 6:6, Paul says, know this, that our old man was crucified with Christ. That's not your dad. He's talking about you. Our old man. Well, Jack, what is this old man stuff? He says, our old man was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Really? I'm going to give you one more verse, but remind me to come back to Romans. It's really important. Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22 verse 24. Put off, cast away, shove off, like a nautical term. Push away from the deck or from the dock concerning your former conduct. Remember how you used to live, everybody? The old man, which grows corrupt. By the way, it means he's still growing corrupt, that old man. Ew. Thought he was crucified. He is. But he keeps coming around. He's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is, put Bible in your head. Get brainwashed. That you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What do I need to be righteous and holy? Put on Jesus. Isn't that great? Romans 6, verse 6. our old man was crucified, he goes on to say, so that our bodies will no longer be slaves to sin. Watch this. These carcasses of ours, these bodies, I'm born again on the inside. I am not born again on the outside. Hear this loud and clear. It's the only original thought I think I've ever had in my life. The Lord had to one day convince me, Jack, will you calm down? I didn't die for your personality. I died for your sins. See, because I wanted to be like David Hawking and Chuck Smith and Billy Graham. And the Lord said, will you knock it off? I didn't die for your personality. You crazy nut, I died for your sins. Now, I drive me nuts, but the Lord is quite pleased. I don't get it. But whatever Jesus did on the cross, it removed the sin situation between me and the Father, and God's got a happy face, and He loves me. He loves me so much, He can't take His eyes off me. He's not falling behind me going, is He slipping up yet? Gabriel, Michael, watch him like a hawk. If he steps out of line, hoy, let him have it. No. God is saying, you know, I just love that guy. And you know what I do? I do the Galatian thing. But God, I didn't pray today. I love you, Jack. Jesus. I mean, I've hardly read much today. I love you so much. You're my boy. Lord, I haven't visited orphans lately. I'm not giving maybe as much as I could give financially. Lord, do you hear what I'm doing? I'm a Galatian. Are you like that? Don't raise your hand. I already know you are. We're like this. It's human nature. When somebody says, you know what, I love you just the way you are. In relationships, when he turns to her and says, I love you, absolutely. In her mind, you know what, yeah, right. As long as I'm beautiful or I'm young, yeah, you know. It's human nature. It's wrong. But we carried it over with God. My old man was crucified with Christ. That I should no longer serve sin. You know what? I'm going to sin today. I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm just saying. Just calm down. If I sin today, if I think of jealous or envious or selfish thought or whatever, or, you know, if I get out of hand for the Rams today, here's the deal. Jesus died for me. Do I go around and say, hey, I can get out of hand today. Woo! Let's whip it up, buddy. Woo! Okay! No. No Christian thinks like that. Hey, come on, Jesus died for me, so bring the kegger in. Let's break open the beers and bring in the girls. Praise the Lord. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't think like that. The thought can enter your mind. That's called temptation. That happens to everybody. But you can't think like that. And here's the deal. My flesh, here's the deal, I tell you. You're out on the highway, you're driving along, and you're doing fine. And then you see a sign that says 65. 65. You look in your speedometer, and it says 65. And the inner man, who is growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the inner man is growing while the outward man is perishing day by day, says the Word. There's two of me around here. My flesh that you see, and then the spiritual part of who God has created, and He's creating. So here's the deal. I have a battle. So I see 65. 65. I didn't have a problem with it until I saw it. 65. I'm going 65. 65. My inner man says, praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. And as soon as I realize it, 66. What about 66? 67. In fact, most officers have said that the speedometers are off to where like 3 to 5 miles. I could go 70 and I could still fall under the 65 category. And even if I got stopped, I could argue this in court. Officers only going 70. I mean, my wheels, I got big tires that threw things off. Okay. You begin to rationalize. Your flesh begins to talk and you begin to say, hey, you know what? Why don't you just take a little look? Just take a look. Oh, isn't he handsome? Or isn't she beautiful? The flesh says that. Your flesh says that. My flesh says that. And here's what happens. To those of you who are born again, this is what happens. You hear the Lord say, And then your inner man goes, that's right! Back off, flesh! Look the other way. Look opposite. Look away. You know, the largest truck stop in America is a few miles from here. And I don't know. Ladies, confirm if this is true. The billboards leading up to that truck stop are the most filthy billboards that I've ever seen in America. Why? Because there's prostitutes and hookers waiting at those truck stops. So what does Satan do? He puts billboards up along the way. They're going down the 10 freeway to the busiest truck stop in America. And there are so many Christian brothers and sisters who drive their big rigs into that place and they come here to church. And I get letters from them across America. And you know what? The 10 freeway. And they got that battle. There's that display. There's that person saying, call me. I'm at this number. Up there in 5-foot high letters. Just call me. And the flesh is going, yeah, look. Come on, look. And I'm confessing this for every man in this building. Every man who's a Christian in this building, there's the flesh going, come on. And the Spirit is saying, back off. Drop dead, flesh. You're crucified with Christ. You start quoting scriptures. Sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. And there's a war going on. You know what I'm talking about? There's a war. You know what? Praise the Lord for the war. Because a person who's a Galatianism persuasion, they talk about holiness. They talk about keeping the law of God. And they themselves break it the worst. And they might say, well, I've never done those things. You are so full of yourself that there's no room for Jesus. And it's a horrible thing. And so all the glory and all the praise and the honors of Him. And the church of Galatia was getting away from a salvation and a gospel of grace. In the book, I'm done. You can close your Bible. In the book, The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the first chapter, he sets your mind at ease at a moment and he says, you know, there are many of those who will attack the grace of God. But the truth is this. Many will say that the grace of God is itself weak as those that adhere to it. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, don't ever call that which costs God everything cheap. There's no such thing as cheap grace. God's grace cost Him the life of His Son. It's the most expensive thing that God ever supplied in the universe. It's not cheap, but it is free. Father, we thank You for Your truth and for Your Word. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that today, Lord, that there would be some who would be sitting here today that they would say, right where they're at, right now, yes, Jesus. To this gospel, yes. A gospel that tells me that Jesus came and died for me, yes. A gospel that says I cannot earn it but receive it, yes. A gospel that says will keep me, yes. A gospel that says He will change my life and I can start all over again, you say yes right where you're at. And He'll begin to change your life. Call upon Him. Don't put Him off today. Do not delay. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.